The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Bibles, Exodus chapter 3, all that preliminary stuff is out of the way. I know it's hard to retain it all. You can go to cityplacechurch.com and get all that information. But I'm going to read a little bit today, because if you've been in a City Place service, I like to read the text and paint a picture of what I feel like the Lord gave me to give to you. And we've started this year by wanting to give God our first in prayer and fasting, but I also wanted to lay a foundation of what I felt like the Lord was saying to you and for you. And the verse that he gave me was in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18 and 19. It says, "Now, hey, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and a river in dry places." And last week, we just ended our service by saying, God, this year is going to give you a road and he's going to give you a river. He's going to make it easy for you to make a decision. He's going to make it clear on what you're called to do and what you're going to chase after. And as you're chasing it, as you're running, when it's sometimes 2016, I got tired. No, this year, there's going to be a river right there with you. And God's going to refresh you on the journey, because it's a new thing. It's something you've never grabbed hold of before. So 2016 is dead. It's gone. Don't think about it. Don't go, "I shoulda, coulda, woulda." He ain't thinking that way. He's got something new for you. And so this year, as you're dreaming big, there's a road and there's a river. So all you need to do is stay close to Jesus. That's the reason why we're giving him 21 days of prayer and fasting, because we're like, "Lord, right out the gate, show me the road. I don't have time to waste trying to figure it out. Lord, I'm going to run hard. You promise you'll refresh me." A road and a river. Look at the person beside you. Say, "Road and a river." And so this morning, I'm going to catch you back up on what you may have missed, but I'm going to use another text. So if you give me about a good 10 minutes to lay the foundation, I'm going to give you a couple of nuggets for 2017, because you and I have dreams. How many of y'all already have your resolutions, your goals? 8% of us, Forbes says, will attain it. 8%. 8% of us, by the time February comes, will be like, "It's not doable, not in this season." A road and a river. It's new. No more repeats. A road and a river. So this January, we're giving God our first, so that as we run, we become all that God's called us to be. Is that good? Now, if the Lord says something to you, you can talk back. I don't get distracted. In fact, I preach harder. But before I get my engine revved up, we're all on the plane, and now I've got to give you the instructions of our flight. Is that good? Exodus chapter 3. Thank you so much, Stephen. Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read 22 verses. Oh, my Lord, 22 verses. I'm going to read 22 verses because I've got someplace to go. It says in Exodus chapter 3, it says, "One day Moses was tending the flock of his father, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness." Oh, there's that word that was in Isaiah. "Wilderness, and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. 'This is amazing,' Moses said to himself. 'Why isn't it burning up? I must go see it.' When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, he called to him in the middle of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' 'Here I am,' Moses replied. 'Do not come any closer,' the Lord warned. 'Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. The land that I got for them is flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that's already occupied by the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites. They live there now. Look, the cry of my people of Israel has reached me. I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Israel. But Moses protested, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this shall be your sign that I am with you who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. I love how Moses said, how can I do it? And God immediately goes to the end of the story. He says, now when you get there, that's your sign. How awesome is God that he'll tell you you're going to do something? He says, now when you get there, that'll be your sign. Can I just pause there for a moment and tell you that God will make you a promise? And he says, when you get there, that'll be your sign. So many times we look at the start and we go, God, how will you? He says, when you get there, that'll be your sign. Can I tell you this morning that you will start the journey this year and you will finish it, and that will be your sign. Oh, come on, I'm already preaching. I ain't even get through my other 10 verses. Can you feel that? The sign of God being with you is that you will get there in 2017. How awesome is God? He says, this is what you're going to do. And the sign, Moses, you're going to get there. And then when you get there, go ahead and worship me, man. Go ahead and worship me. I don't know why I'm stopping there. Preachers, boy, we can stay right there and still try to squeeze the rest of the message in. But I'm not going to do that. God answered, said, I'll be with you. And this will be a sign. When you have brought them, you'll worship me at this very mountain. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors have sent me, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. I love that. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the one who has a history with you, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my eternal name. My name to remember for all generations. Now go, Moses. Don't delay. Call together all the elders of Israel. It's new. Tell them Yahweh, the God of the ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to you. And he told you everything. I've been watching closely. And I see how the Egyptians have been treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. And I will lead you to a land flowing of milk and honey. Verse 18, the elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord, our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I, the Lord, your God, will raise my hand. I'll strike the Egyptians, performing all the miracles among them, and then he'll let you go. Let's stop right there. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you're doing a new thing. We thank you that it's something that we're going to recognize, something we're going to know. So, Father, as we go into your word, we thank you, Lord God, that you're in the middle. We're going to go until we get there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to go right in so I can catch you up to get you out of here. Here's the first thing that the Lord told us last week, prophetically to you. God is going to prove himself to you that when you see an obstacle, he's going to see an opportunity. Wilderness, I'm going to give you a road. Desert, I'm going to give you some water. It's God's promise to you this year that there is no obstacle. There is only opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to prove himself to you that you're going to get there. It's new, totally new. 2016, like I said earlier, gone. 2017, new. Road, river. So this year, God says, only see opportunities. When it arises, opportunity. Last year, I might have looked at it and said, oh no. This time, God's going to give me a road. He's going to give me a river. Only opportunities. So here are some things that just foundationally that we went over last week. I'm not going to preach them, but I'm just going to run them off to lay a foundation. And if you want to get caught up, you can catch our podcast at City Place Church audio podcast on iTunes. Did you like that? What? I'm sorry. I can't take up all my preaching time. Y'all will get tired of me. In 2017, communication is going to be the key. I have to speak to God and I have to listen. That's the reason why we're praying. That's the reason why we're fasting. That's the reason why we're coming together on Sunday morning and at team night on Wednesday. It's because communication is going to be the key. The second thing is that I have to take inventory. Paul said, forget those things which are behind. I press forward to what God has for me. I can't think about everything that was in 2016 and pull it into 2017. I got to take inventory. That's not coming with me. I know I may not have checked it off the box. I'm not bringing it. It's new. A road and a river. I got to take inventory. So communication is the key. I'm taking inventory right out the gate. I'm taking inventory. The second thing is I have to light a fire. Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in my bones, even when I didn't even want to talk about it. I tried not to talk about Jesus. I tried not to talk about the word, but it was like fire shut up in my bones, and I had to let it out. So you and I have to light a fire on the inside of us where the word of God burns so much I can't contain it. I don't know why they were jumping around on the stage. I know I normally sit still, but something in this season says, it's got to get out. So you've got to light a fire in 2016, the burning bush. Look at that. Notice how I tied it into the message. Then, after you have the fire lit, you have to build yourself a shelter. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run, and they are safe. The thing is that we have to know the God we serve. I have to communicate. It's going to be key. So you have to build a shelter this year because everything that's new, the enemy will come. He will, but it's an opportunity. A road and a what? A river. The final thing is, and this is the foundation of our year. I said last week, you will get tired of hearing because we will be practical in nature. You have to go deeper with God. You might be a spiritual giant. I applaud you. Go deeper. There's stuff that when by the time Jesus returns, there's still stuff that we won't even know. Go deeper. If you are in cruise control, you're missing it. Heaven wants you to go for more. So we're going deeper. And so the text that I read to you earlier, we find a guy by the name of Moses. How many of y'all know Moses? We all know the song, right? Let my people. That was good. Did y'all like? Let my people. That was awesome. That's the comedic side of me. Sorry. We all know the story. Moses, the Ten Commandments, parts the Red Sea. We've seen Charlton Heston in the great story, the classic that's played every single year. But what we sometimes forget is how that journey started. And it started in Genesis when the people of God began to grow after Joseph took over. And when Joseph gets older and he's been leading Egypt, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 that the people of God grew so numerous that they became exceedingly great. And it said that Joseph died along with his generation. The Pharaoh died and he did not know who Joseph was. So when he came on the scene, he saw that the people of Israel had grown so powerful that he became afraid. And he said, we must now make them slaves lest they take over us. Can I tell you that the enemy is fearful of you? Because regardless of where you may be right now, you are great and you are numerous because of the God that has placed his hand on you. So the enemy looks at him and he says, we must oppress them. But the Bible says that when they pressured them, they grew even more exceedingly great. Can I tell you that as the pressure comes, you go higher? I'm skipping ahead already. So it says that the people of God, they're being oppressed and they're being squeezed by this king and Pharaoh who doesn't know that Joseph was actually trying to build the corporate entity. He wasn't trying to take it over. But this new Pharaoh thought that this rogue employee, who's now the people are living in his city, were going to take it over. So he begins to put pressure on them, and he makes them slaves. So they go from owning their own land to now having to work for the man. Things are being stripped away. And the Bible says that they continue to grow more and more. But the people of God, if you read chapter 1 and verse chapter 2 of Exodus, it says that they begin to cry out, will you help us? Where we are is not what you promised us. And year after year, decade after decade, century after century is going by. And they're crying out to God. And the Bible says that God feels a rumbling. His heart is beginning to be compassionate. Meanwhile, God's heart is compassionate. He says, this is the season to do something new in my people. Pharaoh is growing more and more frustrated because the people of God under pressure are growing more and more. So he comes up with this decree. Not only will they be slaves, but every single boy, kill them. If they are a boy, kill them. The purpose, the seed of destiny, kill it before it even starts. The Bible says that the Hebrew women who would care for the children because they feared God would protect the firstborn, and word got back to Pharaoh. He was so frustrated. He said, why would you do this? And they said, we cannot go against our God. He said, because you did that, as soon as the babies are born, throw them in the Nile River. No longer is it going to go through a third person. You see them, kill them. The enemy is the same way with you. He knows your potential and he wants to kill you. And the Bible says that God's heart is moved. He says, it's time for a new season. The breaking point of my people has come. They've been crying out. They know that it's more. They're hungry for more. It's time for harvest season. It's time for something new. And the Bible said he births in a couple this baby of purpose and destiny whose name was Moses. And in chapter 2, his mom, the Bible says, in fear of losing her baby, she grabs a basket. She puts a little tar. She puts him in, and she pushes him in a river. And she watches as the basket floats down the river. And as it's floating down the river, the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter is out one day. And this basket comes, and she says, there's a Hebrew child. And they begin to raise the child. And as God would have it, she says, can you find somebody who would raise this child? And the story says that the person who says, I can find somebody, goes over and says, hey, Moses' mom, you still want to raise your child? And the Bible, in all of God's majesty, eventually brings his mom over to raise him back up. God has a way of making your promise seem like you don't have a handle on it. But then at the end, he puts it right back in your hand for you to raise. So Moses gets placed in a place he doesn't want to be, but it's a new season for God's people, for Moses' family. Destiny is about to be unlocked, and mom is eventually raising her purpose anyway. Can I tell you that no matter how your journey has had to go down this road, down this river, God is allowing you in this season to grab hold of what you have birthed or are about to birth. He is not going to allow somebody else to raise what you have birthed. He is not going to allow the enemy to destroy what you have birthed. So the Bible says that Moses grows older. He's starting to feel a little bit of rumbling. Something feels odd. He notices that there's an argument. He tries to intervene. He reacts the wrong way. He runs out to the wilderness, and that's where we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 3. He's on the run. He runs out to the wilderness, and while he is in the wilderness, he has a God encounter. And God says, hey, it's a new season. Shall you not know it? Take them shoes off. Where you were walking before was common ground. Where you are now, it's holy. You haven't been this way before. It's new. The place where you are when you may have gone to a temple, you were fine. You walked right in the way you were. In this season, take your shoes off, son. The surface is no longer necessary. Deeper is where you must go. Take those shoes off. The one who's talking to you is talking to you directly now. You don't have to go around any sort of bend. Communication between you and I is face to face. It's new. You now have a road and you now have a river. Do you see how it's tying together? So Moses is in front of him. And God says, now guess what? You were a shepherd, right? Yes, I was. It's a new thing now. Now, all of your hard work, all of the seasons of life have brought you to what you have really been called to do. Now, you're a leader. You didn't know I was developing your leadership, but I was. You didn't know I was developing you for your true purpose and call, but I was. Now, it's a new thing. Shall you not know it? I'm going to tell you. You're going to step in front of some great leaders, and you're going to declare that thus saith the Lord. And when you walk in, I'm going to be with you. They need some identification? Tell them I am that I am. Well, that's kind of bland. I am the deliverer. I am God. I am the healer. I am the provider. What do you need God to be for you? I am your what? When you roll with your God, he is your what? He is my friend. I am your friend. I am your protector. I am your God. I am the one that gives you purpose. I am the one that gives you destiny. I am the one that brings you back together. I am that I am. Clear cut, period, non-negotiable. When you go with me, just tell him, I am. That'll tell him. Because in the moment when you show up before them, they need me to be their deliverer. I am your deliverer. I'm on board. Let's do it. Because that's what I need him to be. So he says, I am that I am. He says, you're going to walk and you're going to go. And the place where you're going is a new place. It's not familiar to what they're in now. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Where they are right now, they're getting beat down. It's not 2016. It's a new thing. It's flowing like a river. It's flowing with milk and honey. How cool would it be for you and I to go in our community, go outside, grab a cup from your flowing milk and honey? I know that seems cuckoo, but it's beyond your grasp. It's beyond your comprehension. I look at that story and I go, now, was there really milk and honey? I love the Bible because it allows me to not put limitations. Milk and honey seems beyond my wildest dreams. You all would think I was cuckoo if I invited you to my house and I said, now listen, the pool outside has milk and honey. How many of y'all would say, commit him? You would. And sometimes we take the same perspective with God. You can own the business. But hey, that's cuckoo. You can be miraculously debt-free. But wait a second, I made all the mistakes. You can be miraculously healed. But you know, Miss Sally's also going through it. As long as she's okay, I'm okay. You can, because he is the I am. So he shows up and he says, I am that I am. He says, you're going to go with me. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And he says, now, when you get there, it's going to seem like it's hard. And the reason why it's hard is because I want to smack them down with my hand and not yours. Because the tendency is that you're going to try to face it all on your own. It's bigger than you. It's a new season. You can't throw the dude off the cliff, Moses, like you did earlier. You out here because you just killed somebody. That's your own hand. In the new season, I need to smack him down. Let me do my thing in this season. I feel like preaching. Y'all help me. I like it. Come a little bit harder. We might break something. Just kidding. We need this for next Sunday. So he says in this season, when you show up, don't try to do it on your own. Let me lay my hand on them. Because when I lay my hand on them, they know that something's changed. Can I tell you that your circumstance and your situation, your dream, whatever it may be, needs to feel the hand of God. The one who created the heavens and the earth with one spoken word, light, day, night, water, fish, animals. He took time when he got to you. Everything else. So the God that you serve is the great I am. So he says, let me slap my hand on him and show them what else. Now, after he says that, at the end, I didn't read all the way to 22 because I wanted to just tell you about it. At the end, he says, now here's what you're going to do after I slap them down. Pow! Concussion. He says, now after you get the concussion because I done hit him so hard and they're going to let you go, what I want you to do, he says this in, I think it's 2022, concussion. He says, now what I want you to do, I want you to go and ask them for stuff. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to ask them for gold and silver and clothes and cattle. And he said, they're going to give it all to you. And you're going to leave out with what you earned. And you're going to wipe them clean. See, when God hits them, he has you doing all sorts of stuff. Hey, do you mind, because I'm going to get it anyway, but I just figured I'd tell you, I want some new pay increase. I want my health back. You know what? We've been tolerating our marriage going up and down like this. You're going to give it back. I've been fighting with this health thing, and I'm not even really thinking about it because it's an opportunity this year, but you're going to give it back. My kids are not in church. Their butts are getting in church this year. And I'm just letting you know that I'm taking that with me because it's a new season. Y'all with me? He's telling them that in 2017, they need an unstoppable mentality. In 2017, you need an unstoppable mentality. When you go before them, tell them I am sent you, and then you rolling, facing your obstacle, but I'm going to punch them in the gut with my hand. You need an unstoppable mentality in 2017. It's not in your hand. Yes, you can throw somebody over a cliff, run, but you still gonna feel like something's missing. But the moment you go before God, he says, take them shoes off. This is new. A road and a river. He's building in you an unstoppable mentality. So since I'm building an unstoppable mentality in 2017, I also need to allow God to really fight for me because he'll win. I need to allow God to fight for me because he'll win. I'll raise my hand, and I'll pat them down. I'll raise my hand, and I'll pat them down. So in 2017, unstoppable mentality is not like, you can't hold me down. No, it's God, smack them down. Allow God to really fight for you, not just in words, but in your actions. Now, I wrote this down too, and I'm reading like it's not in my notes, but y'all gonna see it anyway. I wanna interrupt this message with a special alert. It's on the screen. Did y'all see that? I spent like 10 minutes trying to decide, is it breaking news? Is it an alert? Is it red lettering? That's what we do when we plan our notes. But I wanna interrupt this message to let you know that the enemy of your life, the devil, wants to kill things in infancy. Remember I told you as I was laying the groundwork that at the beginning of the story, the Pharaoh said, throw every baby in the river. As the baby's being born, he wants to kill it. The enemy, hearing in January, you have committed to praying and fasting. I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and he was like, man, it seems like all hell is broken loose, and I've only been fasting for 4 days. Because it's in your infancy. The reason why marriages, people fight in the first year, infancy. The reason why we fight over the smallest of tasks as we're beginning to get them out is because the enemy wants to kill, the devil wants to kill your purpose, your destiny in its infancy. So knowing that, you have to have an unstoppable mentality to allow God to show up for you and smack them down. And knowing that, you have to, this is where I love this, you have to have expect a but God. You have to expect a but God. You have to expect, this is where the fight began, but God. I could have died in the basket when my mom dropped me or thrown over into the now, but God. We could have thrown in the towel at the very beginning of marriage, but God. When I got the report of whatever the illness was that the enemy threw at me, I could have thrown in the towel, but God. For those of you who might not feel like you want to use the phrase, but God, I want to give it to you in a more cleaner version. God has open doors already set aside for you. Who can raise this baby that we found? The one that birthed him? But God would send my mama to raise her purpose. Open door. God has doors open for you this year. When you go deeper in him, he's got people to go deeper with you. So that at the end of 2017, when you cross the finish line, because he already told you, my sign will be that you cross the finish line. You will look back and you will say, but God. Does anybody have a but God? I would have lost my mind, but God. I would still be out doing what I'm doing, but God. I would be broke, busted, and disgusted, but God. Can you look at the person beside you and say, but God did it? Look at the other person and say, but God did it. So, I'm closing. Preparing for Wednesday night to take us behind the curtain. He says to Moses, he says, now listen, I'm gonna slap him down. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to go and you're going to ask for some stuff. And he says, you're going to grab hold of the stuff. You're going to ask for the stuff. But in verse 22, he ends it with this. He says, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. I want to ask you this. Are you in it to win it or just exist? He gives them a guarantee. He says, you're going to plunder the Egyptians. You have a part to play too. Smack down, poop, pow, boom. Right hook, ta, boom, Now, if I'm doing all this for you, are you in it to win it? Because somebody's got to grab it and put it in the bag. Oh, grab that. Grab that. Get that. Hey, girl, get that curtain. Hey, Jimmy, get that chariot. Get, you know what? Get another one. Hey, get three more cattle. 10 more shirts. Hey, don't leave that money back sitting there. Get that. Give me back my healing. Give me my joy. Give me my peace. Give me my patience. Don't leave nothing out. If you're in it to win it, grab hold of it. Don't leave nothing. I've already done the work. Are you in it to win it or just exist? He's working his heart out. It's new. Paving the road and allowing the river to flow. He says, you're going to plunder. You're going to grab hold of it. Are you in it to win it, City Place Church? Or are you just going to exist? I hit it back to you. We're going to hear great messages all year. You can listen to the greatest podcast from the greatest preachers. But are you in it to win it? When your God has already... Angels, right here, pave that for me. Hey, river. I need a river for Solomon, right here. Hey, roadway. I need... a roadway for Lorne. They're ready this year. Are you going to be like, Jesus, I'm here. Let's do this. Got my kicks on. Boy, when I play basketball, I be getting my shoes ready because I'm like, y'all going to go today. We balling today. I ain't come out here on this court to sit on the sideline. If I'm out here, you're going to get the juice. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get the juice. Are you in it to win it? Or are you just going to exist? It's new. We're going deeper with God, and we're going deeper with people. That's the reason why you hear us talk about next steps. Like, we're doing next steps today not because it's some sort of class routine. It's because we're going deeper with God. Finding purpose is today's focus. The reason why we're praying and fasting is because we're going, God, yeah. 2016. Mm-mm. I don't even remember it. I'm just focused on what you're calling us to do. Will you stand to your feet?
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.